Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Hawkeye fans, welcome to episode 97 of the podcast. In this one, we've got a special episode with another guest, Amani Hooker of the Tennessee Titans, former Hawk defensive back. Just another one in the line of incredible defensive backs that Coach Parker and the Hawkeye defense have churned out over the last few years. This one's pretty special. We jump it off early, just like Amani did. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans. This is episode 97 of the podcast. And before we can even start, I can assure you guys that it has nothing to do with Kluver. So you guys can rest easy knowing that we don't have to listen to a bunch of him. This is also not about Kevin, because today Kevin ditched us for a kid that he doesn't even know. Never even met her before. So I honestly think that's kind of bullshit, but that's just me. That's okay, though, because today we got somebody else picking up the slack for us. You definitely don't want to listen to me and Kluver talk all day, but today we got a pretty special guest coming back to join us, one of the Hawkeye legends, man. I'm trying to think back in my career if I've ever been a part of one single play that was more, like, monumental than the one this guy made. I don't think I did. So, man, with that being said, welcome Amani Hooker, safety from the Tennessee Titans, former Hawk. Welcome, Bubs.
Hey, man, much love. Appreciate it. Glad you guys have me.
Amani, let's start it off with that play. What's it feel like to, you know, we'll get into just the feel of Kinnick and everything about that.
Right.
But what's it feel like in a big-time game to line up against the Ohio State Buckeyes and start the game off by snatching that ball and pick six off the get? Like, what's that like?
It's crazy, because, you know, the night before I was telling myself, like, I gotta make a play early, and I was trying to visualize, you know what plays they could run that I could possibly jump, you know, get an interception on and stuff like that. And having to be the first play, they ran that little dig route and jumped it, made a play. Is probably, I can ask for a better start of a game than that.
Dude, that was one of the coolest things that's ever happened in Kinnick. Like, there was that Tyler Sash Micah interception, and there's been some sick plays, but that one's up there, the best of all of them.
Man, I can't remember hearing. I think that was the loudest ever been.
It's the loudest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It was crazy.
When they lined up for that play, did it start to click in your mind before they even snapped the ball? Like, this is what's happening?
Honestly, it was a look that, you know, they run a lot. It was one of their, you know, on first and second downs, and, you know, their go-to kind of passing concept. And right when I seen the number two, the slot receiver, go underneath, I knew there's going to be some coming back, either a dig or a post to the front of the field. So
you get those butterflies in your stomach, like, oh, this is it. Like, I'm on it.
Honestly, I just broke on the ball. I kind of blacked out. I didn't realize I caught it. I kind of caught it behind me. I almost ran past it. So I'm glad I didn't run past it, because that would have been bad. But yeah, you kind of black out for a little bit. And then
everybody talks about that. Everybody comes on here and they're like, dude, honestly, a lot of times I just blacked out.
That's how it is. You just black out because your natural instincts kick in and just make a play.
I'll tell you what, I definitely wasn't ready for a start of the game like that, because something like that happens, Hook, and right. I was ready. We got Barrett. They got some weapons. Right. I figure defense, we're good, but it's going to be 6-8 plays before I got to get up and start warming up. And you flipped the script on me real quick. I had to run out with
ball. Right.
That's a damn good start. After a start like that to the game, what's the defense? What's the defensive side of the sideline talking? Like, what's the vocabulary like? What are you guys saying to each other?
It's excitement right away, and then it's automatic back to focusing in, because, I mean, that play only took 6 seconds. You got the rest of the game to play.
Yep.
So you got to log back in and make sure, you know, stop them from scoring.
Yeah. Man, it's good to have you on here. That's I think, like Drake said, in Hawkeye, at least in the last decade of Hawkeye football, that's probably a top three memorable play, along with Dunk's field goal in 16 versus Michigan. Yeah. And, you know, pick another one, but
you got to put that Micah and Sash play in there.
Yeah,
that was
wild.
Sweet.
Let's bring it back, Hook, to when you were in high school. You're from Minneapolis, right?
Yeah.
When did the Iowa Hawkeyes get on your radar? And describe a little bit about how you made your way to Iowa City.
They came in winter of my junior year, so after my junior season. They came in. It was Coach Wallace. He came in all black, decked out in new Nike gear. You know, he was looking real swaggy. It was cool.
Tell me he was fat. He's looking a little.
No, he's actually slimmer. He's actually a little chubbier now. So
it's been too many years of coaching, ago, man.
Right, man. Stacking up on him.
But, hey, he's been eating too much training table.
Right. Right. And then I went on a visit in June. With a couple other guys that I ended up committing. And, right when I was here, I loved it. I fell in love with the coaching staff. I love what they do as far as, like, academically, and then guys going to NFL. Yeah.
Who'd you commit over? Like, what schools did we beat out?
I had New Mexico, NDSU, South Dakota, Northern Iowa.
So you're kind of like
Minnesota.
No Minnesota.
So it's been fuck Minnesota from the jump.
Oh, yeah, it's always been. I mean, I never even been a fan of them, honestly. Yep.
That's funny. So, I mean, you're kind of like that same story, like that Desmond King story.
Yeah.
Lowly recruited, is, you know, you're not a five-star recruit coming out of high school. And a big part of the Iowa football program, especially in your life for your 3 years that you were there, 4 years, is Coach Parker. And I know that he plays a special role in the DBs' lives, and just talk about your relationship with him a little bit. What's that like?
Yeah. I mean, right when you get on campus as a freshman, you know, he just picks your brain, trying to figure out what kind of kids you are. You know, he only wants, you know, like he says, tough, smart kids, you know, guys that love football, and he'll find out if you love football. And if you love football, you'll be on the field. And I mean, sometimes showing that you love football means, you know, not missing meetings or studying the playbook. So, you know, he puts that on you quick right away. And my whole time, you know, he always just wanted me to be the best. You know, he stayed on me. He never let me get big headed at all. You know, he always just wanted me to perfect my craft, and he did a good job of preparing me for where I am right
now. That was the thing about you, is that when you came in as a freshman, you were one of the freshmen who actually had what it took to get on the field. And like, you weren't the starter, because there was some good players in front of you. I don't remember who exactly started at the time. But every once in a while, you would get sent over to the practice squad, the Devo squad.
Right.
if the defense was having a bad practice, if the practice squad right. defense was having a bad practice, I was yeah. so mad every time you got sent over, dude, because I did not want any part of hitting you because I was just trying to hit the little kids, man. It was practice. We're going to stay right. in practice, not hurt ourselves. And then they sent you over and they sent Amani Jones over. And it was yep. like, why did you guys just have to piss in our cereal? Yep. We were having man. A good day.
Man, every time they did that, man, I honestly thought I would get angry because I'm so like, man, I shouldn't even be over here right now. Yep. I mean, it's obviously not bad helping out the team, you know, but just like at the moment, I'm like, man, I'm not trying to do scout team stuff. Exactly. But me and my Jones are just like, let's go. You gotta knock them all out. Yeah. So they send it back over there. So,
and you and, yeah. and you, the two Amanis played with the exact same mentality on the special or the practice squad win you had too, and it was just like yeah. a nightmare.
Right.
You
good times, man.
Yeah. So your first year Hook would have been 15 or 16?
Wait, 16.
16. So
16. Yeah.
You came in after our undefeated season and
yeah.
you know, like, again, kind of with the concept of not being a five-star, you made your name kind of known early on the special teams, right? Like, mm-hmm. I remember early you were on punt team with me and Kevin Ward. Yeah. And talk about the role of special teams, not only in how it helped you develop at Iowa, but kind of how that's a thing at the next level too, and kind of how special teams yeah. makes a guy, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, special teams – if you look at it from like a fan's point of view, you know, they don't even watch it really. Like they right. won't even watch, you know, the punt or the punt return. They don't even really like look at the details and stuff. But I mean, like, you know, hitting yardage is everything.
Everything.
So, I mean, you want to have a great team, you got to have great special teams. And you have to know what you're doing. You have to be able to know the rules and be able to understand that, you know, you can't block this, you can't hold this because you might, you know, lose that hitting yardage. And the way that helped me out was just, that was the quickest way to get on the field. You know, I wanted to play right away as a freshman. That was my goal. And I knew that, you know, I might not be able to start, but the way that I can play is on special teams. So the whole fall camp, every special teams drill that we had, I was going 100%.
It was Miles that you were behind, right, your freshman year?
Yep.
Now, I was yeah, trying Miles, to think, man, who was playing, there. And it was yep. old coach MT, man.
Yeah, MT.
How did
– him and Snyder.
Snides, yep. yeah. I knew Snides was yep. playing free, but I thought you came in as a – strong.
Talk about those two a little bit and how they helped you out early on.
Oh, I mean, they helped me out early because, you know, Miles, the undefeated season, he was a sophomore that year. So, you know, yep. he had experience. He played in the Big Ten Championship. So, you know, just picking their brains early, picking Desmond's brain early, Maybach, Greg Maven, like all of them. Like that room with Josh Jackson, like we had a great room.
An insane
when I first
room.
Got there, so. Insane room, yeah.
And it,
so. Yeah,
the funny thing about it is all you guys were under-recruited. Every single dude yeah. you just mentioned was an mm-hmm. afterthought coming out of high school.
Right.
And I honestly, the one catalyst to the entire equation is Phil Parker. He's the only right. he's the only person who was there through yep. every single person. So
how does he do it?
He just breaks it down, the details, honestly. I mean, like, you go to the combine and, you know, you talk to other players, they don't know certain stuff. They don't know certain coverages. Like, you go on a whiteboard for combine training and, you know, we draw on our offensive, you know, positions and formations up. And, you know, we know all the ins and outs, offense and defense. Other teams, other schools, they're only learning man-to-man, inside yep. leverage, all that stuff. So, that's I mean, crazy. he makes you know the details.
The
makes sense.
Yeah, that's wild. So, I mean, you got on the field early, special teams that first year. You were a guy that I, you know, Wallace, as funny as he made it, when we would have those punt meetings, he made it important to the team and he made us feel like it was more important than the offense or the defense. Like, he just had a way of doing
it. Yeah, he did.
You were one of those.
Every morning.
Yeah. yeah. Screaming yeah. down the hall to get there to the meeting yeah. early, like, get yeah. your breakfast sandwich.
Do they put as big of an emphasis on it in the NFL, or do you guys spend so much time on offense and defense?
It's about the same as it is in college. It's very important. I mean, they really take time on with the special team stuff, at least for Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. The what I was gonna say was, knowing that you were one of my guys, you know, because I felt like
right.
that, I felt like that punt team was my team, and I think everybody kind of felt like it was their team because that's what Coach Wallace made it feel like. And knowing that you were one of my guys, like in the core, it just felt good. Like you're just a guy trust. And that's that 16 season after McCaffrey had run a punt back on us at the end of the previous year.
Yeah,
that was kind of the fire behind the entire 16 season special teams wise.
Yeah,
and we locked in. I mean, that was one of the great. I would say statistically, that was probably one of our best years in special teams.
Yeah.
And just having you alongside on
it
that.
It was when special teams got a little more fun. Like that pro punt was. Yeah. There was no part of that was fun at all.
Yeah.
Learning all of Wallace's nuances and kind of getting to go through it in the incubation process was actually pretty fun.
Yeah. And no, it was fun. It definitely was.
Yeah. And then you started to see the field as a safety. You stepped in. When was your first
sophomore year? Sophomore year. My first start was I came in North Texas around the second quarter, and then my first start was the Penn State game.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So the Penn State game where we got beat up pretty bad.
No, that was my freshman year. The Penn State game where I just missed it by my fingertips
in the
last second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was tough.
How about that play? How about that play?
Honestly, I was governing a guy. We were man to man, so everyone was man across the board.
Yep.
And my guy ran underneath shallow route, so I was driving on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Tracy McSorley was gonna throw it and dump it to him at like the 4 yards and try and make that maybe he can run for it. And then I look up and it's going up, and I jump up late, and I go up with two because I'm just going off a reaction. I'm just going off reaction. I low-key jumped off the wrong foot and it was just missed it. Man.
Do you ever think about that play still?
Oh, yeah, I think about it. I mean, I still – people bring it up sometimes. I'll see it in, some comments. One fingertip away from, that win and stuff. But
I feel you.
I mean, I get
the same stuff on the Polecat stuff, so
it's – Right.
Hey, so you remember back to the last thing on Wallace's meeting, I just thought about this, is that We had a fake that I practiced countless amount of times. And then right before we were about to run it, he's like, oh, no. Amani and Drake, you guys are going to switch positions.
Yep.
And then we're actually going to put the ball in the guy's hands that want to have the ball.
And we ran the play.
Yeah, he ran the play.
We got the first down
and everything. But
I forgot that it was originally for you.
I didn't forget.
Okay. Hook, that was the play we ran against Illinois, right?
Illinois.
Yeah, I direct snapped it to you.
Direction out. Yeah, you told me you're like, I can barely hear you. And I was like, man, I feel like I speak up.
No,
I wasn't used to calling it because we didn't really practice it with me back there.
Right. Well, because in practice, I can always hear you. And
dude, I scored a lot of touchdowns on that in practice. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
And a lot of XOs.
Amani was one guy. You were one guy away, really.
I really was. He like grabbed my. If he didn't grab my arm, I'd have been gone.
That was huge, though. I mean, that was just one of the many fakes that we all got to be a part of that worked out. Yeah. Like we it's like we never missed on a fake. We just kept hitting. And that's thanks to Wallace and Coach Wood's genius. You played, obviously you had a fantastic career as a Hawkeye and you really got on the map kind of that sophomore year. And then entering your junior season, what was it like inside of your head? Was making it, was the NFL ever on your radar going into that junior season, or were you just trying to play for the Hawks, have a good time, and do your best? And if the NFL was an opportunity at the end of it, so be it.
Just have fun, mess around in the team.
Yeah. Right. I mean, well, going into my junior year, that spring ball after my sophomore season, going to my junior year, I mean, that's when I really, everything really slowed down. Yeah. Like, I remember, I was getting interceptions, it was nuts. I think I led that spring ball with like 8 or 9 interceptions, and I was just making plays I wasn't usually making, and I was just really feeling really comfortable finishing spring ball up. And then, going into the season, obviously I know that I could be, eligible to go to the draft after the season, but honestly, my main goal was just to play, get as much wins as I can, make as much plays as I can, just be impactful, not just on defense, but also on special teams, on that punt. Not giving up a block, punt return, if I ever back the return and try to make a play or just whatever I can just to help the team win. That was my main goal. And then, you know, come the end of the season, I wasn't even expected to – I didn't think I was going to win the Tatum Whitson Award because, you know, I moved positions. So, you know, it was all a blessing. I'm glad it all worked out the way it did, though.
How did that feel to win that, knowing that
it's just our award now?
Yeah, that Josh won it and that Desmond won it. It's like, did that mean something special, kind of following the footsteps?
Yeah, I mean, you grow up – I grew up watching, you know, Big Ten football all the time. And, like, to be considered, you know, 1 year out of, you know, how many years Big Ten's been around to be one of the best defensive backs, you know, that's a huge honor. And, you know, I just take pride in all the training and all the coaching that I had and, you know, just putting stuff together and stacking my days.
One day after a time. And a huge part to that kind of thing is a guy we haven't talked about yet, Coach Doyle. Talk about Coach and his role in developing you as an athlete and a player and kind of just that mental game as well.
You know, the mental game is real. And, you know, it's applied right away your freshman year. And, you know, it just all depends how you take it. I'm always been a positive guy and everything happens for a reason. And if you just put your head down, you know, you're going to be good. At the end of the day, you're going to be happy with what happened. So, you know, Doyle, I was actually, my first time on campus, I was low-key afraid of Doyle. So I never wanted to.
Bro, I'm still afraid.
Everybody.
I never wanted to miss nothing. I never wanted to be late. So, like, my whole thing was, like, I felt like those are, like, parents. I never want to disappoint.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So my thing, it just kept me driving. It just kept me in my lane. It kept me focused.
That's great.
Yeah.
Is there ever a time where it was a summer workout or, you know, some kind of a conditioning GPP we were doing? Was there ever a time where you were like, damn, I don't know if I can do this? Or was that since you got on the field early at Iowa, did you always kind of have that mindset of no matter what happens, I'm going to make it through? But, you know, there's a tough time for everybody in college.
Oh, yeah. I mean, me, I've always finished a condition. I mean, if I think about it, I don't know how I did it. But, I mean, you just keep going. I mean, you got your brothers with you, got teammates with you pushing you. I mean, it gets hard. Like, I mean, I remember a time we were pushing sleds and I'm throwing up while I'm pushing the sled. And then you still got 10, 15 more yards to go and you still finish it, push it out. Like, I mean, that's the stuff you love.
What was the hardest workout you did at Iowa? Because we've talked about a lot of them, but what was your worst?
For me, the quarters weren't too bad. I was more of like when we did the sleds and we did more of the sleds and the ropes.
Yeah.
I've already had my shoulders weren't the best and they get fatigued fast. So when we're doing the ropes, it starts burning. I start slowing down. It's not good for me.
Those ropes.
My brother is in the program now. He's his first year. Drake, he texted me the other day. Yeah. He goes, we had ropes again. I got fucked.
That was me every day after doing ropes.
That's so funny. Talk about the decision at the end of your junior year. We talked with Tristan about it and he really toiled over it. And as much as that decision, you know, you try to push it towards after the bowl game, you want to finish the season with your brothers and then make that decision.
Yeah.
Keep it off of your mind until then. When did that really start to come into play? You know, who helped you out through that time? What coaches did you talk to? Who gave you good advice? And ultimately, what was the deciding factor to forgo your senior season and enter the NFL draft?
You know, it wasn't an easy decision. You know, like you said, you know, I want to finish the season off and I wanted to, you know, play in the bowl game and not have that on my mind. So I talked to a lot of people. You know, I talked to Desmond, you know, because he stayed. I want to know why he stayed, you know, what made him stay. And I talked to Josh on, you know, why he felt like he wanted to leave. You know, and I also talked to Micah Hyde for about 2 hours, an hour on the phone, just talking about his whole career and, you know, what he's doing now and what he thinks. And, you know, I got a lot of input and a lot of great advice from some great guys. And for me, you know, my dream was coming to Iowa. My reason was so I could play in the NFL and have that chance to get to the NFL. And I felt like, you know, winning all these awards and stuff, that'll, you know, help my stock. And, you know, at that moment, I was thinking, you know, if I stay another year, it's going to be hard to, you know, win those awards back, you know.
Yep.
A lot of stuff can happen in a year. I mean, obviously, you know, I want to come back. I want to get some trophies and, you know, win a Big Ten championship. But at the time, you know, it's something you got to do. You got to think about, you know, sometimes you got to think about yourself. And, you know, that's what I was doing.
Hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Yeah, sure. I mean, at the end of the day, you put in your work, so right. You can't ever feel bad about it, because at college, right. Everybody is the stepping stone to their ultimate dream, and you're getting right. To live. So you made the right decision right. For yourself, man, especially making it to an AFC championship game your first year.
Yeah,
man, that's crazy.
Yeah, and let's take it from there. I want to shift gears into kind of the NFL now. You enter the draft. And you get I should have done research, but you get drafted by the Titans
in the fourth round.
I'm 15th pick.
At that point, like, what's that feel like, man? What's that call feel like?
Man, it's a great call, because you never know when it's going to come. You know, you never know. And there's a lot of people that don't get the call. So it's a blessing to get the call. And, you know, it was a great feeling. I actually met with the Titans. I went on a visit there before the draft and after the combine. And they came and worked me out as well. So now I kind of was familiar with the coaching staff. They told me that they're going to draft a safety. And then if I was on the board the time that they wanted me, then they're going to take me. And they moved up actually like three spots and got me.
Wow.
The Browns are about to take me.
Well, that breaks my heart a little bit, because I am I'm a Browns fan by blood.
I fall great.
So I would have loved to have seen you with the Browns, but. Right. At the same time, you couldn't have gotten put in a better spot with a great team who's got a great defense. Mike Vrabel is about as smart as they get when it comes to a defensive mind and get to live in Nashville. So, like, you pretty much hit the lotto
to
working out.
Yeah, bro. You're
right. Can't complain, man.
You're living it out. I'll tell you what. I don't know. I'm not a big analyst guy. I don't follow – every team in the off season. I don't know who's supposed to be good, who's not. In the NFL, it's weird. Yeah. You know, it's a business. Guys are being traded all over the place. Guys got contracts up. They want more money. There's Antonio Browns of the world who have complete ulterior motives. It's hard to know what team's going to be good and what isn't. And I don't know if the Titans and y'all down in Nashville were really picked to do as well as y'all did this year. Mm-hmm. But you guys turned some heads and were having a lot of fun. What was this season like, man? Like, how was it to be a part of that?
Man, it was amazing, because, you know, we started off actually 2-4, and it was looking like, you know, it was looking real rough. You know, people were down, and then, you know, the whole motto of the offseason from last season was good to great. You know, that was the thing. We wanted to be good to great, because they finished 9-7. They just missed the playoffs. So the whole offseason was good to great. So when you ask people, like, how you doing in the facility, it's great. Always great. Never good. You know what I mean? So that season was crazy. New experiences, new people. You know, my first time, you know, being in playoffs, first time playing in a game, first play. Like, it's all just crazy, all learning curve. And, you know, honestly, it's a blessing.
Dude, you think about a guy like Andy Dalton or a guy like Tony Romo, like, none of those guys have ever won a playoff game in their career.
Yeah.
And then just your very first year, you get to go all the way to the championship game. Like, that, I can't get over that shit. You and Ben, I had the exact same conversation with Ben in last year, and he was telling me, he's like, dude, I can't believe we just lost the AFC championship game. And shit.
Right.
Like, obviously, you have to go through that heartbreak, but at the same time, you got to experience that. Like, you know what that shit's like. It's just, now it's just kind of like expectation. It's not a dream anymore.
Right. Right. Exactly. Not expectation. Exactly right.
Yeah. So I got to imagine all eyes ahead on the prize, eyes on the prize for y'all moving to this next season. Like, it's, you guys went and did it. You proved that you can do it.
Yeah.
you guys have an absolute alien at running back.
Yeah, I was about to just ask if Derrick Henry's the biggest
like, bro, like
honestly, yeah, he looks like a basketball player when you look at his legs, and he's just like a run of linebacker when you look at his upper body. It's crazy.
Like, do you have
he's legit 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, at least he's 6'4" for sure.
I mean, yeah. He gets a lot of credit, but that offensive line working, like, y'all got a lot of pieces. And
A lot of pieces.
You guys have been in the media a lot recently, too, because you guys are a potential landing spot for Tom Brady. Who knows what happens with that situation. But you guys have kind of become a hot spot. Like, it's Nashville. It's starting to match the town a little bit. Like, how is it living down in Nashville?
Oh, man, it's great. Great food. Always warm, great weather. I think it snowed maybe once or twice, and it melted by noon. So, I mean, you can't complain. Like, you guys been to Broadway, I'm pretty sure. So, it gets lit down there.
Everything about that, you mentioned the food in Nashville, Tennessee is mind-blowing. It is unbelievable. Yeah. Have you had Jenny's ice cream?
No, I have not. I've wanted to go there, but every time I go, it's been a line.
Gotta go to Jenny's.
It's worth the wait? It's worth the line?
By so far.
Yeah, all
right, bro. I'm gonna do that.
You got to get sponsored by them. Like, you're a professional athlete, you should just hit them up for a little sponsorship.
Right. I wish it was that easy, man.
I know. Your role on the Titans this last year, you talk about how much playing time you got, kind of where you fit into that defense, and like your personal goals moving forward.
Yeah. I probably played about 37% of the defensive snaps. And then I was pretty sure I was about 13th on total snaps for the whole team, special teams and defense as well.
Okay.
So, and I played quite a bit. So I was out there, you know, more than I expected to be. But honestly, my goal was to be out there as much as I can.
Right.
Goals for myself, you know, I'd come in on the third down. You know what?
I was about to say your first player performance check hasn't come in yet, but when it does, you're going to really like that one.
Oh yeah, that's what I've heard. So we'll see what it's looking like when it hits soon. For sure.
Need it.
Right.
That PP is gonna be whoa.
It's gonna look good. It's definitely gonna look good. So they had me at the third down safety, so I'd come in either third and three or longer, depending on who we play, or second and long, whatever. I'd come in, you know, mix up the coverages, disguise, and you know, we were really big on disguising last year, and we picked off a lot of balls doing that.
Yeah.
Who's the coolest dude you covered? Year,
huh?
Who's the coolest dude you covered? Like, you were covering somebody, you're like, damn. I'm
I mean, I tackled Julio Jones. That was pretty sweet.
That is nuts.
I covered Odell Beckham on a corner route. Smacked it out of his hands. I went out of bounds.
That's
pretty cool.
That's wild. Yeah. It's so, I know, like, in the game, you don't really think about it that way, but.
Right.
For two white kids from Iowa who didn't get any calls from the NFL, it's pretty cool to.
No, it's definitely pretty cool when I really think about it. It's sweet.
That's crazy. It was so fun to watch you, with that Titan swag. Y'all kind of had like this different swag that you brought this year. And
What was your guys' T-shirt? HBCE or something? What was it?
Oh, MMCNB. My man catch no balls.
No, the one with the bicycle. It had a bike on the front, right?
Oh, that's one of my boys from back home. Yo, HBCU. Oh, yeah.
I thought that
was that's not something from the team. No.
Damn, I like that.
Yeah, that's swaggy. Yo. He got some more stuff, so yeah. That's not the team though.
They're out there. Anything else you want to ask, Drake? I'm blanking on questions, but it's just been so fun to watch you, Hook. I mean,
yeah, appreciate it, man.
I want you to have the same kind of success that Hyde, Micah has had, and Desmond has had.
Yeah.
Did you ever talk to those guys about? You're only 1 year into the league now. Not even. I mean, the draft isn't even here yet. Have you had any conversations with them, just like on the low, about kind of staying, making a? Because guys don't stay in the league for long, right? You know, it's the old joke that KF used to say, not for long or whatever.
Yeah.
Have you talked to guys about kind of how to create a life in the league and find that consistency and that longevity? Or is
That's
that
a
just
tremendous question, Kluber. You came up with one.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the average time a player spends in the league is 3.5 years, 3 years. And honestly, it's the same type of stuff you learn in Iowa. You know what I mean? The daily disciplines, you know, making sure you're on weight. You know, like, why? Some people ask, why is that? Well, so you perform to your, you know, your best of your abilities. Yep. Like, just small stuff, taking care of your injuries. Don't let them stack up. You know what I mean? Like, so do I want to go to the training room, or do I just want to go home real quick and, you know, play the game?
Yep.
Or should I treat this injury? You know what I mean? That's how players last in the league. That's what I've been learning. And you can see in the locker room, you can see guys that are in there early in the hot tub, or some guys, you know, like Logan Ryan, our starting corner. He was here 2 hours before everyone else is there, and he's on the field warming up, doing footwork stuff, and then gets out, takes him off, gets in the hot tub, goes in the training room. I mean, just seeing that and then seeing the success he had on the field is like, well, you wonder why some guys are successful and some guys aren't. And you see it off the field.
Yeah,
you see where the mind is off the field.
If you get Tom Brady, because it's gossip that it could happen, if it does happen,
right,
that's like the guy, the TB12 method,
right,
everything he does. Yep. You'll be able to learn a lot of good stuff from him about longevity and everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if he ends up there, then I'm definitely going to pick his brain.
Hell
sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And we're going to have to find out like what a quarterback looks at and how the quarterback beats
right.
you.
Oh, yeah.
Him.
What's he thinking? Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Is there any – I'm always curious about this because obviously with the league comes a lot, you know, financial freedom. You know, you're not some broke college kid anymore. Is there any special ways – and some stuff has come out about Kittle, yoga, and using a bunch of alternative methods outside of the facility to really take care of your body. Is there anything that you like specifically to go do? Any rituals that you have, any, you know, get a massage or anything that you like to do to keep your body right?
Massage. I love massage. I love a sauna. You know, I'll sit in the sauna for 30, 35 minutes at a time. I do it every day during the week.
Y'all have one at the
morning,
facility?
I go work out. Yep. No, I go to the sauna at the rec.
Okay.
And we got, I'm in Iowa City right now, actually.
Oh, you're back in Iowa City.
I tore my labrum. Yep. I tore my labrum. So, I had surgery on that 5 weeks ago. I'm doing my therapy here. So that's why I've been here. So, yeah, I'll be hitting the sauna. We do have one in our facility. We have a steam room as well. So, I mean, I'm in there a lot. Just get my mind right, get my body right.
So, tell me this, bro. Did labrum surgery for you hurt like as bad as anything you've ever experienced, or was it better for you?
It was honestly, the first 3 days were terrible. The first 3 to 5 days a week was terrible. I mean, sleeping on my back, I started getting knots in my back, aching.
Yeah.
Landing, you can't roll over. The throbbing, yeah, it was bad.
But like
you had it right. Smooth? You said what?
Your rehab's been smooth though, it's been loosening up and progressing really well.
Yeah. I'm actually a little head scared.
I was the exact opposite, dude. My shoulder was locked up. Russ was always trying to stretch it out. It was so miserable, dude. Labrum surgery was
absolutely
worse. So when I heard you had labrum surgery, I was like, oh,
right.
But
man. I'm 5 weeks out and I can.
But look at you. Never in a million
years. Right.
I was still locked in that sling at 6 weeks, dude.
Jeez.
So
they got me moving fast.
So you're back in the old stomping grounds, walking around the complex in Iowa City, huh?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How are things?
Looking good.
KF,
you know, I haven't been around a year, but from the outside looking in, you know, guys look focused.
Yeah. Did you feel at all like you know, we got Gino coming out this year? He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Gotta ask him about Gino. Y'all are boys too. Y'all are like best friends, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's my dog. Yeah, that's like my little brother.
Has he been picking your brain off the first year? Kind of same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right when he got on campus, he was like in my ear, like in my pocket, like
just
always talking about anything. Like, what are we doing? What are you trying to hang out later? You want to watch film later? Like, you want to come in early? Like,
it's funny. Y'all are really.
He's always been a bug. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you see in Gino? And I know, because when I watch y'all play, I see a lot of the same things.
Play with the same gritty-ass mindset, dude. They just
– Yeah.
I feel like
– Yeah, get out the mud, man. It's got to
– Yeah.
Whatever it takes, mindset. Whatever it takes.
Did you take any pride in knowing that as a junior in 2018, that y'all as part of the older class helped with this 2019 team, this team that last year beat USC. Did you feel like you had a hand in that? You kind of led some of those younger guys to help them into that season?
Yeah, I mean, I think we did. I think we left, like, Jake Javas, me and Jake, you know, we left that room in a good hands with OJ and Gino. I mean, I wasn't here, and all I hear is, like, yeah, Gino's the leader. Like, he's been leading. He hasn't missed nothing. Like, I mean, he never really missed nothing before, but, like, Coach Parker's talking about, like, what'd you do to Gino when you left? Like, he stepped up, and OJ stepped up as well, like, as expected. And, you know, he had a great year, too. And, I mean, I think that we left a mark. I mean, Nate Stanley was still here. Yeah, Larry Jackson. Yep. Trying to think, you know, a whole bunch of guys from my class that were still on that 2019 team that are contributing and leading. So, I think we definitely did.
Do you have any shit to talk on Javas? Because this is your opportunity to do it right here.
I mean, he thinks he's the greatest athlete ever out of Davenport, Iowa.
And we remind him, I let him know that when he came on here that he was the absolute bottom of the totem pole of QC athletes. So, like, you're like the fifth most important dude out of Davenport.
Right. Yeah. That's hilarious. Nah, that's my dog, though, man. He's a beast. I'm happy. I'm so happy he made a team.
Yeah.
And he's definitely going to be – I think he's going to be in the league for a while.
Oh, yeah. We're proud of him for sure. We just like to touch on him. Kevin,
oh, yeah.
Kevin said, Kevin texted us while we were doing this, and he said, tell Hook he knows you wanted to be a Leo so bad.
Hey, that cash position, that was a Leo. I got the Woodham Award from playing Leo.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, for real. Right. Really, you did. They respected that.
Yeah.
You kind of
– took a lot of respect.
I feel like – I know the answer to the question, but I want to hear it in your words. You like to get gritty. You like to throw bodies around a little bit. Stepping down into that second level and kind of taking on some blocks and being a little bit of a linebacker, does that excite you a lot? Uh-oh. Where'd they go?
More instincts-wise. I'm breaking up.
No, I was. Sorry.
Oh, no fault. Just being around the box, I kind of like it. Just because stuff happens faster, you got to react faster. So, you're coming down from the safety, people have time to think about how they're going to block you.
Yep.
But if you're down in that box within, you know, 3 or 4 yards, I can trigger fast and, you know, miss that block. So, and it was fun moving down there. And it was fun being in them trenches a couple of times.
That's awesome.
Our defense was so elite when we had you as our strong side linebacker. It just got way more athletic than all them DBs.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that was fun, especially stepping in my sophomore year, actually being on the playing defense, man. That was a great time, for sure.
That was a good time. As we finish this up, Hook, any favorite moments from this year in the league? After 1 year, what was a favorite stadium to play in, a favorite team to play against? What was a highlight?
I think the three playoff games. I mean, I've never been a part of anything like that. Each game, you could tell it was a playoff game. Each game felt more intensity, fans, the city that you're in. I mean, playing in Baltimore, that was probably the livest intro I've seen a team ever come out in. I mean, they're flashing the lights, the crowd's loud, they're playing some new music that just came out the night before. You got Lamar Jackson all blacked out, waving a towel. I mean, that was so sweet. But then the Patriots, I mean, beating Tom Brady in Foxborough, like, come on now. That's like a movie.
That's literally a bucket list thing that almost nobody gets to accomplish.
Right.
It's a movie.
Only a few guys have that win under their belt.
Exactly.
That's wild.
That feels so good, man.
Drake, you got anything else?
I just want to say that it was a pleasure having you on, man. It's been great to watch you as a Hawk, as a Titan, and we wish you all the best, man, because there's nothing better than watching Hawks.
Yeah, appreciate that, Drake, man. And I'm glad you guys had me on here, because I've been always watching you guys, you know, post all your podcasts, and I've been keeping in touch and all that stuff, man. You guys are already on your, 97th episode?
Almost 100, yep.
Almost 100, man. You guys are moving. I love it, man.
We're doing it.
We're better than Bussing with the Boys.
No, we're not.
Bussing with the Boys is hot, man.
They're hot.
Yeah, they are. I love Bussing with the Boys. I just, since you play with them, I had to say it.
Yeah.
All right,
Taylor Lewan got something good down there, man.
Hey, take it easy, man. Hold down Nashville for us. Hopefully we can come down. Man. Hopefully we can come down and make a game sometime. That'd be dope.
That'd
Yeah, let me know, man. I'll be down there.
Absolutely. It's great to have you on. Episode 97 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. That's it. Amani Hooker, former Hawk, former Tatum Woodson Defensive Back of the Year, and now
Tatum Curry. Rises, heart don't have stars.
Heart don't have stars, and Hawks by a million, baby.
Yes, sir. Go Hawk.
Let's go. That's it for the Walk-Ons. See you next time.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.